shucking jive.
All you racing fans, stand up, clap your feet. I mean, clap your heads.
Welcome to the Goat Rodeo.
CRN Studios in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Racing Through History.
Hello, race fans. Welcome to this delayed Goat Rodeo here.
What do we got?
Background noise. Go ahead, Bobby. What do we got? Give it to us again. There you go.
Sound like a bumblebee racing.
Sound effects for y'all tonight here on the Goat Rodeo.
I don't know whether I'm sitting too close to him or not. I may have to move.
Anyway, folks, sorry for the delay getting to you. The funny thing is we were sitting here 9 minutes before showtime, and we're all here, and I said, heck, let's just go early. And I turned on the doggone, started to go early, and all of a sudden things started happening, and I had to reboot the system, and when I rebooted the system, it started freaking updates and stuff, and it made us late. I'm sorry. So here we go. I got it all shut down. We're rocking and rolling now. Let's get around and say hello to everybody. Let's start all the way out west in Dawsonville, Georgia. The man, Cody, the legend himself is here. Another legend, okay, a smaller, younger legend. Go ahead, Cody. How you doing, man?
I'm good, but I'm not a legend.
Oh, yeah, you are. You're a legend to us, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that, but I'm glad to be here. I hate that I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, but all is good, and we're glad to see you too.
Glad to have you here too, boy.
Good to see you too. Yeah.
So that's cool. That's good. All right. A little bit further east in the lair, the legend is there. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Jeff. And if David Pearson had only known how popular that line would become,
yeah, no
I'm
kidding.
Sure he would have copyrighted
or not said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably
he
the
said
truth
it
of it.
He said it at Darlington.
At Darlington, at that historic racing festival.
Yeah.
First time I ever met you.
Yeah, and I said, yeah. Hey, David, good to see you. He said, good to see you, too.
Yeah,
how many years
today.
Ago was that? Was that 2008?
2008.
And then Sand Deep repeated it.
Yeah, like it made it all the way to India.
It's a global thing.
It made it a hashtag.
Good to see you, too. Yeah, you're right, Cody. Let's do that. All right.
I'm not so sure I know how to make hashtags.
I'll make one.
It's
all right.
A number sign.
I'll get the TV show up here in just a second, Cody. Folks, for people to see that are waiting on that.
Oh, cool. I thought there was something
the
wrong
site.
With me.
It's on Facebook, but I don't have it over on the site yet. It's hard for me to do that and talk to y'all at the same time. But coming a little bit further east, the United States Ambassador to Hand, South Carolina, is with us. Coastal Jack Walker, how you doing tonight, sir?
Doing great, man.
Good, again. You're visiting us via Skype tonight again.
Yeah, it was too long of a trip to get to the studio.
Yeah, it's all the way from Hand.
All the way from the outskirts of Wompee.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a long way over there, man.
Yeah, sure is.
Yeah.
So it's across the water.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, water away.
Yeah. I mean, they have bridges, but, yeah. I mean, you know, there is water there. So here in the studio with us tonight, we've got the Hewlin Oval Crash, Splitter himself, the man on the street. The man that invented Hughes Views on the News.
And the phone.
And a new ringtone we'll share with y'all tonight. How you doing, Hugh?
I'm doing just fine. How are you, Jeff?
Good, buddy. Good. I can't even get Facebook to come up on this stupid computer. It's still trying to update crap since I crashed it. That's bad. You can't do that. So I'll get to show up.
Like I asked you just before we went on the air, I bet you don't try to go on the air early again.
No, man. Well, one thing about all this stuff here, when it's working and running good, you just leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know? And once you turn it off.
Once you get to dinkering around with it,
yeah,
no telling what you're going to step into.
Something always goes wrong when you.
I still think it's the Russians.
I think you're right.
It is the Russians.
I think you're right.
That much I can tell you.
They're rushing right on by.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's him. That's the Bopper. That's the one you heard about. He's with us right here tonight, right on the set. How you doing, Bopper?
Strong suspicion. I don't have the evidence, but I feel strongly.
Feel strongly, yeah. There you
that
go.
It is the Russians.
And they've rigged the outcome of this show.
They're causing people to cut off their radio.
They're causing this show to be a flop.
Yeah. Not the fact that we're not quality entertainment.
Yeah. What is up with that?
They are causing people to cut off the radios.
That's what happened. It was the Russians' fault. I saw a picture somebody sent me the other day of two little dogs.
We're not alone.
And the caption under it says, "We're glad you're home because the Russians just pooped in the hall."
You know, we're not a legitimate show. You know, since the Russians hacked us.
That makes us illegitimate.
We're not a legitimate radio show.
It makes us illegitimate.
We're not a legitimate show on many fronts.
Well, now, to my recollection, we never have been.
Oh, come on, Hugh. Let's don't get into semantics here, okay?
We are not a legitimate radio show.
That's not fair, man.
Yeah, it is.
How you doing tonight, Bobby?
Well, I'm doing very well.
Well, that's good, man.
Well,
we haven't heard from the Reverend Jack Stagger in a while.
He's in Washington attending the inauguration.
A what?
He's presiding over the inauguration.
Oh, is he?
Now, put your right hand right here.
He's going to administer the oath of office to
Mad
Dog Mattis.
He administered all kinds of stuff to Miss Sadie.
Is that Tootie Green over there?
All the way in Washington. Y'all remember Tootie?
Only too well.
This is a racing show, ladies and gentlemen.
Bring it on, Bobby. Talk about something.
There's not a lot of racing. The first big race of the year was this past week, concluded Saturday night with the 31st annual Chili Bowl, which has become a mini phenomena in its own right. They started out with letter O heat races, where if you make it out of the O,
that's like
you get
A, B,
into
C,
the
D,
N.
E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M,
yeah.
O?
O. They started Saturday, which was the finals. They started 10 o'clock Saturday morning with the O heat races.
Y'all didn't know I could do that, did you?
No.
You didn't know I could count, did you?
No, we didn't.
So, you know, the idea was you could theoretically make it from O all the way to A.
O to A.
That's how many cars they had, 300 and... over 350, something like 370, something like that. It's just
they need us to preside over that. That had to have been a goat rodeo with that many cars. And what did they start in A main? 24?
They start about 24, something like that.
Out of 300 and some entries. Whoa.
Did you see that thing that circulated around on Facebook of Dave Despain talking and a guy behind him was looking through binoculars? And he takes a cap off one of the doctors and took a drink and put him back on.
No, I did not.
That had to be perfect.
Was that at was
that
at
the Chili Bowl?
At
the Chili Bowl. I don't know if it was real or not.
You know the Chili Bowl, they race every night of the week, the heat races and so on. And every night, I don't know what the stands will hold there, but they're always packed every single night. And people get tickets to come inside the building and watch it on a closed circuit TV.
That's amazing, isn't it?
They don't even get to the track.
That's when you know you've made it.
But they were doing a little bit of history of the event Saturday night, and I overheard that the first year the promoters lost $20,000 on the Chili Bowl.
Ha!
But like most things... perseverance paid off, and now, man, it has become just a mega motorsports event, and unique in that it attracts competitors from all disciplines. You know, pavement racers, road racers, drag racers, just everybody that's any kind of race driver is attracted to the Chili Bowl. So it's got that going for it. It's kind of unique among all sports. It's turned into quite an event. So Christopher Bale won it this year. Christopher Bale, who is a NASCAR guy. But the thing is, NASCAR, of course, tries to cash in on the Chili Bowl and say there's a NASCAR cadet. All the guys that's there, they were Chili Bowlers before they was NASCAR people. It's not the fact that they were NASCAR and come in and went. They were already doing that.
Yeah, they went back to their roots.
Yeah, that's a little bit different than saying NASCAR has a strong presence at the Chili Bowl. Is that
the Chili Bowl's got a strong presence in
NASCAR.
Strong
presence in NASCAR. Yeah, yeah. It's the other way around. So, anyway, that was going on.
Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Tell our viewers where we are tonight.
We are sitting inside the Racers Reunion Museum. And for all of y'all that are listening on the radio and haven't seen it,
y'all need to look.
You can if you click on the radio and TV tab up at the top of racersreunion.com, you'll see the live video feed of the show tonight there. And you can choose whether to listen to the audio there or listen to the audio on the radio. If you're listening to the radio and watching the video, they won't match. Okay, there is a delay. I can't help that. But that's the way it is. So anyway, that's good. So let's start things off with Hugh's ringtone. Bobby, would you call Hugh's phone, please?
You just don't mean you don't mean to ad lib it.
Yeah, well, ad lib it first. Let's
ring it ding 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 dong, ring ding 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 dong.
One more time,
ring it ding 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 dong.
All right, now dial it. Let's see how close you got, folks. This was our pre-show entertainment tonight, and we could not get this show off without sharing with you just how special this really is.
It doesn't take much to entertain us.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Splitter's ringtone.
There has to be alcohol involved.
There was alcohol involved in all of that, I promise you. The only thing there's not any alcohol involved in, and we've never been able to figure out how this happened, is Bobby. I mean, how does he do what he does without alcohol?
Well, let me put it to you a little different way. Can you imagine what it would be like with alcohol involved?
Oh, my God. Yeah,
this is there wouldn't be talent, no containing right, that.
It's just
I don't
talent.
Think you could put it on the air.
Cody, you started to say something about Cousin Carl. Is there new news?
Well, I'm sure y'all talked about it last week, but it was just
and a week before.
Shocking.
We might talk about it. We might talk about it some more tonight. As a matter of fact,
that's good. All right,
some more tonight.
That's good. So, what do you think about it, Cody? What do you think's behind it all? You got an opinion?
Well, I think it's very shocking. I really hate it because I really like Carl. I think he's one of the nicest guys in the garage. And my favorite thing about Carl is that when he does a TV interview, he takes his glasses off and looks the reporter in the eye. And he's just so down home. I was watching the press conference last Wednesday when he formally announced it. And, it was kind of a long press conference, but if somebody asked a question, he would let him finish the entire question. He would say, could you repeat that? Or, he was just so sincere and gave a very sincere answer. A lot of people I know, though, just have a suspicion that Harris bought out his contract so Daniel Suarez could come in. And I don't know, but I don't think he's coming back. I know a lot of rumors have said that he's going to be the Dodge guy if they ever come back, but I don't know. I mean, I kind of applaud him for finding a good point in his career to end on instead of riding around for 5 or 6 years in the back if he ever got to that point in time. But I don't know. I'm gonna miss seeing him on track, though, that's for sure. Even if he does drive for a Toyota.
Speaking of driving for, have they given you a new Porsche yet?
Well, actually, I went back to work at my old job at the racetrack. They wanted me to come back, so they gave me a management title and a promotion, so I couldn't say
Did he give you any more money?
Yeah.
Well, cool. That's the name of that game.
Is that your old job at the go-kart track?
Yeah, I'm operations manager over the go-karts.
Oh, you're not at Porsche Motorsports?
I'm still on the payroll, but it's not a lot. You see, it's 62 miles to Porsche, and it's 12 to the racetrack I work at.
Did you have a press conference?
It's a very small one.
attended by the Dawsonville Gazette. Cody, could you explain why you're giving up this cushy job at Porsche Motorsports?
Well,
that was the question that had everybody spellbound.
Yeah, and I got out on Twitter a couple days beforehand, so everybody pretty much knew about it.
Got out on Fox Sports.
One.
Well, we've only got Fox Sports 4 up here, you know. Oh.
Gene, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. I can. Yeah, you're coming in here.
All right, that's good, ladies and gentlemen. He's with us right now, the one, the only, Gene Hobby.
Gene.
How you doing, Gene?
Hey, doing pretty good. the weather cooperates, you know.
It always does.
It's going to be nice this weekend.
Yeah, that's good. Tim.
Yes, sir.
Take it away, buddy. Help it.
Guide
us through Mr. Gene Hobby's presentation here on The Goat Rodeo.
Well, Mr. Gene Hobby, we appreciate you taking a few minutes out to be with us tonight, but I want you to tell the listeners what is coming up in the Raleigh Fairgrounds this weekend.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, for short, it's the Piedmont Racing Expo and Auction and Racers Reunion. But here's what it involves. It involves Racers Auction, Motorsports Trade Show, Racers Reunion, promote your business, showcase products, sell racing parts, meet drivers, legends, which I think you're going to be there, aren't you, legend?
Yes, sir, I'll be there.
And champions. Okay, that pretty well covers it. So we got Dixie covered like you do.
Well, you do. Didn't you tell me, I think, when we were discussing it the other night, there are about 40 drivers will be there for the Racers Reunion?
Yeah, it's going to be quite a few. It's getting bigger every year. Well, what happened, Philip Walker, this is his 31st year, and last year he got Kenny Smithy, working with him.
Yeah.
Kenny Smithy.
Yeah.
And he's sort of going to turn it over to him probably this year, but he's involved this year. But about 4 years ago, Philip, he's one of our crew in the Historic Speedway group. So, you know, he contacted me and him got together two or three times about 4 years ago, and we needed to get some drivers over there. Especially on local drivers that ran the Speedway, which was right outside the front door, and also Wake County and places like that, you know, in all over Carolina. So, you know, it's gotten bigger and bigger. I mean, we're getting them from everywhere, you know. So anyway, we don't have any ties on Ethiopia, Mongolia, nowhere. So,
we got
race drivers coming in, you know, pretty regularly, you know. So. Even Pistone may come with Bob Hissom down here. So anyway, we're waiting on that. And that's how it originated. And then whenever we started that about 4 years ago, Philip came up with some nice jackets. You've seen the jackets, Piedmont Race Expo jackets.
Yeah.
He was giving them out to all the drivers and all that were there, and. And he gave me mine, and he said, look at this. And he made me the Grand Marshal. I'm the Grand Marshal.
Well, you deserve that, buddy. You absolutely deserve
Well, that tickled me to death, but he had enough confidence in me to help put this thing together. So that's what we've been doing. I do it just like to do the Stewart Speedway group. We call these guys all the time, you know, especially 2-3 weeks before the events and all this stuff. But anyway. But we got Wayne Haynes coming over there. He's with O'Reilly Auto Parts, you know, and he's got the Fireball Roberts 63 Ford.
Oh man,
it's immaculate. I mean, he's got a new paint job on it, new lettering, the whole bit. He only lives about 10 miles from me. And then Bobby Keck's 57 63 Ford going to be there, and he ran his Grand National. And Marty Robbins, number 777, that Marty ran late models with it, the old Nashville Speedway,
right.
Which is a 64 Dodge like mine. And that's going to be there. Charles Poindexter is going to be there. And number 68, Flathead, that's, Gerald Talbot's car, and one of our crew, and then the 99 car of mine. So, anyway, that's what it looks like. And the Grand Pounders crew is going to be there. And Bobby Williamson's crew may be over there. I hadn't heard anything about it, but we got a pretty long list of everybody.
Bopper, did you have a question?
He's hoping.
I'm just wondering how you going to get all of that going on in the city of Raleigh is my question there, Gino.
Well, you don't know
run
anything.
NASCAR
you got
out
a gun show right next door and a flea market.
We can't
so
be
gonna
having
fly
that.
Them in by helicopter.
We can't be having that going on in the capital city.
Oh, yeah, no, all day Saturday. No, it's going to be Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They start bringing parts in there on Wednesday.
See? We can't have no such mess
as
that.
One whole half of the building is race car parts, race cars, motors, engines, chassis, frames, wheels, anything you want for a race car. And then the other part over there is, where a lot of the dignitaries, going to be.
Like you?
I just hope our new governor don't find out about it.
Yeah, Roy Cooper will come put the quietus on you.
I just hope that we can't be having
what
that.
What was that now? I can't hear that.
The new governor, your governor.
Speak into the mic.
I'm going to have to speak up.
Into the mic, Bobby. There you go.
I said your governor, Gene. The honorable.
Yeah. What was you talking about?
Bobby is worried about whether or not your new governor
is going to put up with this mess, is what I'm concerned about.
He's going to go through me to do that.
There you go. You tell him, Ty.
That's what we can't be having none of that.
That's all we need to hear. That's all he needs to hear, too.
We'll have some protesters.
That's right.
There'll be some protesters out there protesting.
Oh, well.
Y'all are damaging the environment out there.
We got incognitos for that. Y'all
making greenhouse gases.
Yeah.
gases of some sort.
Y'all making greenhouse gases, Gene.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Gene, I tell you what.
We got it covered.
That event has come a long way, man, with your help and Brother Philip over there and I'm tickled to death to see it going on all these years and growing and doing well, buddy. And make sure you tell them all we said howdy.
It is. You know, like I say, it's got a flea market going there and got a gun show going there. And,
a gun
and
show.
And got our show. And anyway, we got you.
Boy, they are
we got you
for it.
How to get in there, coming around to the back door and all this stuff, you know.
Guns and race cars.
Guns.
That's right.
I've been in that gun show before. That's quite a deal.
And greenhouse gases galore.
Yeah, about 2 years ago, they had a shoot over there at the gun show.
Yep, I remember that. Yep.
Yeah.
Think of that.
I'll tell you what.
Everybody kept running in our gun and said, hey, they're having a shooting over here. Lock it down. And somebody set a shotgun on the table over there, and the daggone thing went off.
I tell you what, there's some scary folks hauling a bunch of ammunition out of that place every year. I know that.
Man. what are you thinking?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Well, Gino, anyway, say hello to everybody over there for us and wish them the best for me, will you?
Well, okay. I'll do that. And I was going to run down some list of names here.
Well, let's run down the list of names. Go ahead, get on it.
We don't need to do that.
No, yeah.
Okay, Robert Agnew's going to be there. He was with Terry LaVernon's crew when he won. The Southern 500, Darlington, you know?
Yep, I know Robin.
Robin Agner. Mm-hmm. He's going to be there. And Terry Anderson with Cecil Gordon. He's going to be there. Wayne Andrews, Billy Biscoe, of course. Bill Blair's going to be there, and he's going to be doing interviews, video interviews with drivers and so forth. And he got that all set up. And David Boggs supposed to be there, but he had another commitment. And like Johnny Dolan, Johnny Henney's going to be there. Roy Hendrick's supposed to be there. Bob Hissom, he and Pistone's supposed to be there. And Bill Mangum, I think, if his health's doing good this weekend. So we got sunshine order for him, so he'll probably be there. And let me see, Dink Winehouse is supposed to be there, but he always comes, but he's not going to make it this year. But anyway, and Ronnie Hartsfield, he's one of the hot shoes from the fairgrounds over there. He's supposed to be there. He's in a wheelchair, but he's he's one of the hot shoes from Wake County and Wilson and Fairgrounds Speedway. So anyway, that's about it. And Peanut Terman, you know, Peanut had a slight heart attack, not heart attack, but stroke back before Thanksgiving, you know, before Bill Mangan's place up there in Danville.
Yep.
But he's going to try to make it down here. Of course, he was up there at the show, and he was getting along pretty good, and he's going to try to make it down here, too.
That's good to hear, man.
That's great.
Good stuff.
Well, Gene, thanks for giving up some of your time on a Tuesday evening. I will see you Saturday, and I'm looking forward to it. And again, thanks for that absolutely excellent map you sent me.
All right. I got something to tell you, but I'll do that at a later date. So, okay, hey, one more thing. I gotta get a plug for the Historic Speedway Group, the 29th and the 30th of September.
Got it.
And we're honoring Bobby and Donnie Allison, Jim Pascal, and Bobby Isaac.
Awesome.
Wow.
All four of them. Yeah.
Awesome. Good job, Gino. Keep it up, buddy.
All right. And our new president, I've retired as president. Our new president is Norman Horton. He's retired from the Orange County Sheriff's Department, and he's doing a good job, and he's looking after all the cars and all this stuff.
Is he legitimate, Gene? Is he a legitimate president?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Good. Well, tell him I will not boycott his inauguration. When it happens,
no,
I'll be
there. No. We got everything covered. See, I'm going to be incognito about 600 yards away.
There you go.
Good night, Gene. You take care, buddy. See you Saturday.
Okay, man. See you now. Simplify.
See you, Gino. Love you, man. Take care. How about Gene Hobby? He's all right, ain't he?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
One of the great ones. He is absolutely.
You know, that show, the Piedmont Racing Expo, is a great midwinter break for it. You get your racing fix, man. You go there and you can smell tires and racing fuel and racing exhaust every now and then. I mean, it's pretty cool, you know, when you've been sitting out for a while, and it's a good way to get all the senses going ready.
Tell
for races.
Us exactly Jeff. Where it is.
It's at the Raleigh Fairgrounds in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Who will?
Beg pardon?
Cool.
Yeah, it is. It's. I've been over there when it was really cool. Cold.
Yeah. Jeff, how many years ago was it you and I were both there?
I was there for several years. I haven't been in the last two, I don't think.
I think it was four years ago I was there last, or maybe three.
Yeah. I went there for several years in a row, but I've missed the last couple anyway. But it's a good place, good people. Philip Walker does a great job over there, and many thanks to him and for what he's done for keeping the memories of the old Raleigh Speedway, Fairground Speedway there alive and honoring the drivers and taking care of them. Man, they feed them good and they treat them well. It's a good deal all the way around. All right, let's get right on with this show right here. We're going, folks, to the United States Ambassador of Hand, South Carolina, Coastal Jack Walker from the Carolina Race Place Historic Race Finish segment is here, and he's going to bring you this historic race finish right from the archives of CarolinaRaceplace.zoomshare.com, and want you to know that Carolina Race Place Historic Race Finish is brought to you in part by Bobby's Auto Parts, home of the Endless Warranty in Charlotte, North Carolina. Take it away, CJ.
All right. Tonight, we are going to Metrolina Speedway in Charlotte, North Carolina. The North Carolina State Championship Late Model Sportsman Race was held at Metrolina Speedway in Charlotte, North Carolina on Friday night, May 3rd, 1974. Going into the race night, Tommy Houston was the favorite to win. Houston had won the three previous weeks in a row at the newly paved half-mile oval. In practice, just before time trials, Grand National driver Bobby Isaac blew a head gasket, which could not be repaired in time for the race. 22 cars made time trial runs, with Tommy Houston winning the pole. Houston's lap was 85.90 miles per hour. Before the late model sportsman feature race, there was a 25-lap limited sportsman race, which was won by Jerry Fox. Also on the card that night was a Baby Grand National Association race, which was won by J.V. Raines. When the 150-lap late model sportsman race took the green flag, Tommy Houston led the first lap. Houston's night ended on lap 10 when his sway bar broke. At the same time, Harry Gant retired with carburetor problems. Ray Hendrick took the checkered flag on lap 150. As Hendrick crossed the finish line, he blew a head gasket. Hendrick won $1,200 for the victory. There were five caution flags during the race. So I didn't have a whole lot of detail on that race, but it was kind of interesting. Bobby, you might be interested to the Baby Grand National Association. Do you remember that? That was before NASCAR took it over.
Remember it? I wrote it. Spent an afternoon at Tom Pistone's one day, him talking me out of doing it.
Now, that was before NASCAR, though. Yep, that was.
I spent a Saturday afternoon at Tiger Tom Pistone's.
It was out of North Wilkesboro, North Carolina.
Yeah, I remember that, Jack, before it was NASCAR.
Yeah, before it was
just,
NASCAR.
It was just an entity.
Yep.
All right.
Anyway, here's the way they finished. May 3rd, 1974 at Metrolina, 150-lap late model sportsman race won by Ray Hendrick, Richmond, Virginia. Followed by Wayne Andrews, Stanley, North Carolina, Don Miller, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Dale Earnhardt, Kannapolis, North Carolina, Larry Wallace from Pineville, North Carolina was fifth, followed by Darrell Bryant, Thomasville, North Carolina, Darrell Wheeler, Kernersville, North Carolina, Sam Ruth, Franklinville, North Carolina, Cecil Boyd, Charlotte, North Carolina, finishing 10th, Gary Myers, Huntsville, Alabama, Lonnie Cochran, Statesville, North Carolina, Jim Poovey, Hickory, North Carolina, Ronald Fox, Taylorsville, North Carolina, Wayne Ellis, Eddie Hawkins, Simpsonville, South Carolina was 15th, followed by George Dalton, Charlotte, North Carolina, Tommy Houston, Conover, North Carolina, Satch Worley, Rocky Mount, Virginia, Harry Gant, Taylorsville, North Carolina, finishing 20th, Ed Boges, Wilkesboro, North Carolina, Glenn Jarrett, Newton, North Carolina, Jimmy Klein, Statesville, North Carolina, and the Bobby Isaac car was also on the grounds but did not start. So that's the way it was, May 3rd, 1974.
Jack, was this was in the Ned Jarrett promotion era of Metrolina?
Absolutely, yes.
He was probably promoting Hickory and Metro at the same time.
Yeah, matter of fact, they had a big race at Hickory the following night. So, yes, absolutely.
Right, and it wasn't too long after that. I guess this was after the Ned era. It went back to dirt.
About 77,
I know for a fact it was dirt, maybe 75.
Yeah, I think it was paved for at least 2 years, maybe three. So.
Yeah, and now poor old Metrolina is just a subject of drone films.
I think it's worse than that. It seems like I saw somewhere where they were clearing the land.
So. Oh, good.
So. It's truly history at this point, I think.
Mm-hmm, as is
a lot of other trucks. Yeah, a lot of other tracks.
History. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Bopper, it's take it away, buddy. What do you got for us tonight?
I got it right here. I got a letter from home. I got it right here next to my heart.
He took it out
of his
bag.
Is this the old mailbag?
Yeah.
Is this more from the old mailbag?
Pickett, kind of dovetailing with what Cody was talking about earlier, the Carl Edwards story. Of course, everything is just speculation at this point. I don't think there's any more to the story than there is. But that's my opinion. For what I watched the interview, I thought Carl was as honest as the day is long, and it explained everything as well as he could explain it. And there's really nothing else to say. For him, for whatever reason, it was time to quit. And I find that very impressive. I thought it was a great interview. I thought he did a good job, and I was impressed. And I don't think there's another shoe to drop. But along those lines, I got to thinking: if there was another shoe to drop, he's not on good standing. If you get out of a race car for whatever reason, history is not on your side as to somehow coming back and being even as close to good as you were. And I started historically thinking about it. Herb Thomas, who has the highest winning percentage in all of NASCAR, and even now there's nobody even close. Well, there is Tim Flock, but them two together are in a different time zone in terms of winning percentage among all of NASCAR drivers. But Herb Thomas, for whatever reason, he had been through several horrendous wrecks by the time 1957 rolled around, and he had a car entered for the Southern 500, and for whatever reason, his instincts and his intuition told him not to drive it. His car, with Herb Thomas still lettered on the roof, was the car, the very car that Fonnie Flock was driving when he spun out and came to a stop in the third, at the entrance to the third turn, and was then caused a horrendous collision of Bobby Myers and Paul Goldsmith, and all of that was caused by the Herb Thomas car, which that car, by the way, incidentally, is still in existence. As a result of all of that, Fonnie Flock retired from a hospital bed, never to drive again. As time would roll on, Bobby Isaac, who had quite the NASCAR career, Grand National Champion in 1970, was driving in a race at Talladega in about 73 and pulled into the pits on the spot. Just pulled in. He was driving for Bud Moore and got out, and there was absolutely nothing wrong with the car. And everybody said, what was wrong? He said, a voice told me to quit. And he pulled in and stopped. Now, Bobby Isaac would later return to small track, local Saturday night stuff, and would succumb to a heart attack in the aftermath of a race at Hickory. Neil Bonnet, getting into the modern era, Neil Bonnet, we remember his story.
Yep.
He had gotten had head injuries at Darlington in about 1990, set out for two or three years, became a broadcaster, had a pretty good show on TNN called Winners, remember that?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And was doing fair, but there was always the lure to go back to racing. There was always and eventually he did do that. This very first race back, they had created him a second car at Richard Childress, identical to the Earnhardt car, except it was number 31, sponsored by Goodrich and everything, and he wound up flipping and almost going to the grandstands at Talladega on the first race back.
Yep.
But that was in late 93. In 94, he had secured some sponsorship to run several races with James Finch, and of course, he was tragically and fatally injured practicing at Daytona in 1994. We also remember Ernie Irvin. Just the only thing about Ernie, the miracle of Ernie Irvin is he's still living.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
That is the miracle of miracles. He was, when his first crash at Michigan, they did not, that he had a 15% chance of living through the first night. That's what the doctor said. He had 15% to make it through this night. Of course, he made it through, and he continued, and he made it all the way back to racing and in victory lane. And 5 years to the day after that first horrendous wreck, he had another one at Michigan. Same thing almost all over again, head injuries, lug injuries, the whole nine yards. He survived again, but this time he did retire. Remember Fireball Roberts had told several people, including Smokey Unick, that he was going to retire and take a position with Falstaff Brewing Company immediately after the 64 World 600 at Charlotte. That was going to be his last race.
Which was his last race.
Which anyway. Was his last race anyway. But that his plans was to get out of the car. Marshall Teague, who had been banned from NASCAR and so on, and for all kinds of shenanigans and confrontations with Bill France, and was desperately wanting to get back in, and France sort of made him a deal if he could set a world closed course record at Daytona just to set the stage for the opening of the track. They would talk about his reinstatement to NASCAR, and of course he was killed in the attempt. Fred Lorenzen had a severe crash at Daytona in the mid-60s, said he would never race again at Daytona under those conditions. The cars was going too fast, and he essentially retired, but would come back in the very late 60s, early 70s to just mediocrity at the very best. It was just, you know, the magic was gone. Probably a trend reverser, if you will, of this whole thing was Mark Martin, who left abruptly Jack Roush and sort of wound up at two or three places and eventually wound up at Hendrick and had a pretty good ending. His career was sort of ended on a high note, which brings us to Jeff Gordon, who officially retired in the whole nine yards and had the swan song season and everything, only to be called back up to service last year to substitute for Dale Jr. Fortunately, he made it through with nothing happening. And then, of course, the kind of, in my opinion, the one in the bubble now that we're all holding our breath is Dale Jr. himself. He's had been victim of several concussions, head injuries, so on, and missed most of last year as a result of one, and he's decided to go back to racing. So let's hope that that he's making the right decision. So with that as a kind of a historical note, I really applaud Carl Edwards. If for whatever reason his feelings and his inclinations was it's time to get out of the car, then it's time to get out. I think he is.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I tell you, Bobby, that's a great piece of reporting right there. That's really.
After watching the interview, I watched it the day the interview took place myself, and I agree 100% with Bobby. It appeared to me that after the last race of last season, every racer, no matter what series they're in, after the last race of the last season, has a bit of downtime, a time to reflect over the past year, et cetera, et cetera. And I fully believe that he just came to the conclusion that it was time for him to get out of the car.
Huh.
That it was that nothing was wrong, but it felt to him like it was time to hang it up.
You know, in the old days, and maybe more so than today, there was this aura of bravado that race drivers were, you know, no fear, brave at all cost, and to be viewed anything less than that was to be viewed less in general. It was certainly not becoming to be considered you had lost your nerve or whatever. But a lot of guys got killed that probably should have stayed out the car.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Or gotten out before they got too old and too slow to race at the top level.
It
happens.
It's very hard for any athlete to step out at the top of his game, but sometimes, well, every time, that is, you can only go down. You know what I mean? If you're at the top of your game, racing in particular is a young man's sport now.
Yep.
It truly is.
I guess the trick there is to learn when you're actually to the top.
Yeah. So
I think you can compare Carl to Ned Jarrett, really, because I mean we're both the same awesome personality. But I think Ned retired in 66, 67. So I mean, right 67. After he won right after he won the championship in 65, and he was accomplished, and you know, I just hope that, you know, whatever Carl does, he has a good time doing it in the off season, or if, whether he, I can see him becoming an advisor to Joe Gibbs maybe later on down the road. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Ned Jarrett was 34, wasn't he?
Yeah,
when he retired, which was very still young.
Well, I think Carl's got a great future ahead of him. in the sport outside the car. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of things he can do and actually be good for the sport.
And stepping out when he did gives him much better options than if he'd raced till he was 50.
Yep.
You know, he has moved back to Missouri.
Has he?
Yeah, he's left North Carolina and moved back, was what I read, or is in the process of doing that right now.
He was an extremely private individual. And to be honest with you, I have never seen or really even aware of his immediate family, that he had a wife and two kids. They were never part of the pit walk stuff, you know, in NASCAR where all the kids are out there with the drivers and all that stuff. His family was always.
His wife is a physician, and I don't think she traveled with him very much because she had her own life. I have seen her on occasion, especially when they first got married. But, yes, he was he never seemed to make an issue of it, but you're right. You never saw much of his private life, his family, talked about it in interviews and so forth. It just wasn't part of him.
I read that he was one of the few NASCAR drivers that had no Twitter account ever. So he was a little more private than the typical competitor. So, all right.
All right, that's cool. That's good stuff right there, man. It's time now for Hugh's views on the news.
I'm going to read y'all some names.
Oh, that's exciting.
And I'm not going to tell you where they came from until after I read some of them.
All right.
This ought to bring back memories for some of you old-time guys and gals. Roy Main, Dick Poling, Billy Taylor, H.B. Bailey, Bill Kimmel, Johnny Sears, Pete Hamilton, Bobby Unser, Paul Goldsmith, Bobby Johns, J.D. McDuffie, Dick Johnson, Charlie Glotzback, Swede Savage, Earl Brooks, Ben Arnold, Dick Brooks, Leroy Yarborough. Those are names from the, if you will, also ran list, or the back end of the 1969 Daytona 500. And how cool is it to hear some of those names that you haven't heard in years and years and years and wondered about where they went? And
Bobby Unser did a show on this network for quite a while a few years ago. Remember that?
I do. But the only thing I could find was the top 10 in that race: Leroy Yarborough, Charlie Glotzback, Donnie Allison, A.J. Foyt, Buddy Baker, David Pearson, Benny Parsons, Richard Petty, Andy Hampton, and 10th was Ray Elder. And the name Andy Hampton meant nothing to me, and I noticed in the rundown that they had it listed in red. I'm not sure what they may have been, a disqualification or something, but there was something different about that.
Wasn't he a USAC driver?
I don't know. I don't remember the name. It doesn't ring a bell with me, but that may be why he, and that would have disqualified him from any NASCAR points, I guess. But then there were people like Swede Savage and Bobby Unser, who were open wheel drivers. They would not have been eligible for NASCAR points either, would they? Don't know.
So let me throw something out. Along the line of names there, Mr. Hugh.
All right.
We were contacted this past week by NASCAR Productions, and they're doing a special on Tiny Lund. It's going to be out February, it's either the 3rd or the 8th, I'll find out. But we hooked them up with some interviews from folks that they were interested in talking to. They are looking for, if anybody out there listening or watching has it, some video of Tiny Lund on camera, speaking to the camera. This special is about his personality and the way he was. They're going to do some stuff on the 63 Daytona 500 in there. But the photographs of Tiny that you have rights to share and video of Tiny that you have rights to share, got a pretty short fuse left on that. Need to get it to him as quickly as possible. I put a post on the forum on racersreunion.com about it. Just contact me there if you got something, and we'll make arrangements for you to get hooked up with the folks at NASCAR Productions. Really cool of them to call and ask. And
they called you?
Yep.
That's cool.
So that they had to know. That means they had to know you existed.
Well, we've provided several things for them in the past, for Hall of Fame inductions and things like that. We've, you know, over the years, not a ton of things, but over the years, they have. So that's cool.
Andy Hampton, by the way, was an ARCA driver.
ARCA, there you go.
And thanks to Alex for that information.
So, Cody.
Yes, sir.
Quick shout out. Anything you want to say before we get out of here, buddy? I didn't mean to cut you short there, but.
Yeah, I would like to say
something
real quick. I'd like to know if anybody's listening or on our panel of experts here. but I'm going to go up to the NASCAR Hall of Fame induction this Friday in honor of Mr. Parks. So I'm pretty excited. I have not been to an induction at that Hall of Fame before, so I'm looking forward to it. And I'm just really happy that Raymond's getting inducted. I hate to be a naysayer, but I think after the first couple of years and he never got in, a lot of us just thought that he never was going to get in. So, I mean, all of us, especially here in Dawson, are just ecstatic that he is finally getting in. And so I'm going to go up Friday for the induction, and I'm just really stoked, and I can't wait to
that's great, man.
See the whole program.
It's great that he is finally getting in there, overdue. All of us think he should have been one of the first ones in there, obviously. Patrick Reynolds will be there, so look him up. If you guys get a chance to hook up, that'd be great. Have you ever met Patrick, Cody?
I have not.
All right, there you go. Patrick, you're listening.
I'm missing
Patrick,
out, though.
Patrick, Cody. There you go. Hook you guys up.
Are you going to the banquet meal, too, Cody?
I believe I am. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm going to get there early, so I think I was included in all the festivities of the day.
It will be a great evening for you. It really will. I went up there for Farwell Roberts' induction, and it was quite the thing. I mean, you will be impressed by everything, and it's hard to be in the room when you're sitting there with Mike Helton and Brian France and all those guys and think about the bad things that were going on, because that is a night that all you can think about is the good that's happening right there in front of you. So you'll have a ball. We want to hear about it next week.
Oh, you definitely will. I guarantee it.
Good deal.
That's great, Cody. Thanks for being with us, buddy, and really proud of you for your promotion there at the track and your new title and everything. That's really cool.
Thank you.
That's good, man. And, you know, always if there's anything we can do here to help you, like your family, we raised you practically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I learned a lot, whether it was good or bad.
And so did we, man. So did we, yeah. I mean, all the stuff we learned about you was good. You know, you just had to put up with.
And we taught him all sorts of bad stuff.
Well, that's right. But, he'll get some good out of that.
He'll get some experience.
All right, folks, been good. Great. We're not going to be here next week. I wanted to say one more thing. Give a big shout-out to the Racing Wizard, who has returned to racersreunion.com. All of you old folks will remember the Racing Wizard and all of his trivia. There is a trivia question posted there. Can't remember exactly what it is. Something like, who was the first active driver to be a pit road reporter? If you know the answer to that, go over there and post it. The network that it ran on and the year, I think, are part of it. And I think I guessed the network. So that should be a hint to help you all get it.
I have a question. Why are we not going to be here next week?
I will be in Orlando at the PGA show.
Oh, okay. I have not heard that.
Yep.
Okay. Well, have fun.
No show next week, guys.
Yep. No show.
A week off.
No racers reunion shows at all next week. I'll be out of town. Leaving Monday, coming back Saturday. Hope y'all have a great time. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody for help putting this together. And as we always do here, we want to say a special thanks to the men and women that serve in our military. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do this. To each and every one of you, good night and God bless.
Racing through history.